The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Eileen Gleeson from Dublin Region Homeless Executive joins us. Good evening to you, Eileen.
Good evening, Matt.
Now, Eileen, the quote that is in the papers today from the Council's Policing Committee yesterday is as follows. Let's be under no illusion here. When somebody becomes homeless, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes years of bad behaviour, probably, or behaviour that isn't the behaviour of you and me. Do you want to elaborate and explain that comment,
please? I'll put it in context. I went to the Joint Policing Committee on an invitation yesterday to give a report on what the Dublin Regional Homeless Executive does and how we respond to homeless with homeless services in the Dublin region. And I outlined the services we provide, the residential services, which are temporary emergency accommodation, supported accommodation, family hubs, etc. I also outlined the day services that we provide for people who need services during the day, and I outlined those, and I then answered questions for the public reps at the meeting, and in that context I answered a question in relation to the volunteer groups that provide services in the city centre. And perhaps I didn't use the correct language, but the point I was trying to make was that we need to be providing services that the DRHE is responsible for and funding. We need to be providing services where we can, that people use and can be linked in to longer term services with a view to getting them out of homelessness. And that was the point I was trying to make. I may have not made it in the most coherent way, and it's led to the headlines today, but that was the point I was trying to make.
Okay, but the phrase bad behaviour, what do you mean by that?
I was trying to explain how there are people with health issues, addiction issues, etc., that it's complex. I was trying to explain that homelessness and the individuals that are homeless have sometimes got complex issues that need to be dealt with, and it cannot be solved by merely giving them soup and a sandwich.
Okay, but bad behaviour, I suppose some people would regard that as somewhat pejorative, that it's sort of like their fault and that's what's coming to them because of their behaviour.
Yeah, and I've already said that the language I used may not have been the most appropriate language in the context, but you have to put the answer I gave in the context of the situation I was in, answering questions to our public reps in relation to a report I'd already given.
What about the good intentions of people who do go and bring food and soup or whatever to homeless people on the streets?
I was trying to make was that you have to understand the complexity of the homeless person and the issues they have and how they're dealt with, and we have structures in place to deal with them, and we try to do that on a daily basis, and are often criticised for not doing it quickly enough. And but we have to be able to get people linked into services. So by having a volunteer service, as well-intended and all as it is, I don't for one minute question the intentions of the volunteers. The people they are serving, if they are in a complex situation, and we need to be moving them into a system where we can help them. And that's what the DRHE is about.
Okay, Anthony Flynn from Inner City Homeless was on our 5 o'clock news. He described your comments as pure snobbery and believes you should step down. Are you going to step down?
Not at all, no. And it's not pure snobbery, and anybody who has worked with me in the sector would know better.
All right, thank you very much, Eileen Gleeson from the Dublin Region Homeless Executive. Father Peter McVerry from the Peter McVerry Trust is with us as well. Peter, if I can sit you into the microphone there, please. Do you accept that Eileen Gleeson misspoke, but that she was well-intentioned?
I do. I think she's clarified to some extent there her remarks. The vast majority of homeless people don't have bad behaviour, and she more or less acknowledged that there. The vast majority of homeless people have only got one problem. They don't have the money to pay for their own accommodation, and the government is not able to provide them with social housing. The problem of homelessness is a failure of government policy. It has very little to do with the bad behaviour of homeless people, though I will acknowledge, and Eileen acknowledged it, that a minority of homeless people do have addiction or alcohol problems. Again, those who do have, we have to ask, why do they have an addiction or an alcohol problem? And sometimes it's due to childhood traumas that were never addressed by counselling or therapy, and turning to drink and drugs was the only way that they could cope with it. I would take up one issue that you said about the soup and the sandwiches, that the people while doing that, we're not helping the homeless situation. I think the people who are providing the soup and the sandwiches are doing a great job, because it's not about the soup and the sandwiches. It's about the friendship. Most homeless people feel rejected. They feel unwanted. They feel vilified and shunned. And if somebody sits down with them for 2 or 3 minutes and shows them that they care, to ask them how they're getting on, offers them a cup of tea, that is worth its weight in gold to homeless people. It's not about the soup and sandwiches. It's about a friendship that many homeless people don't experience very much in their day-to-day, life. And so we can't get enough of the soup and sandwiches, as would be my response to that.
How much do you think of homelessness does come down to mental health issues?
Well, again, there's this category of homeless people. If we were talking 5 years ago, yeah, I'd say the majority of homeless people had a drink problem, drug problem, or a mental health problem. Today, they're in a minority. Unfortunately, people with mental health problem or an addiction problem take up 80% of the time of the voluntary organisations who are dealing with homelessness, because they are the needy people who need a huge amount of support. But the profile of homeless people has changed. We dealt with a single father who was bringing up his two children, doing a wonderful job in private rented accommodation, never missed a month's rent, kept the place spotlessly, and just before Christmas last year, the landlord said, he's selling the house, you have to move out. That's the week came across a 55-year-old man sitting on a park bench, had reared his children, had worked all his life, had lost his job in the recession, had separated from his wife, and he was sitting on a park bench at 10:30 at night and being told, there's no beds available, we'll give you a sleeping bag. This is the new profile of homelessness. It's got nothing to do with bad behaviour or pathology within the homeless person. Homelessness is predominantly a consequence of inadequate government policies.
How many people are you housing at present? Are you providing homes for?
We provide accommodation for about 850 homeless people every night, in various kinds of accommodation. Some of them are apartments. We have about 200 apartments where we can give a homeless person the key of the door and say, this is yours for the rest of your life. You never have to be homeless again. Some of them are what we call six-month beds, technically STA beds. And a homeless person can have a bed in one of those hostels, and they can have it for as long as they need it until they're able to find their own permanent accommodation. And some of it is one-night-only beds, and that's where I really get angry. One-night-only beds are an appalling affront to homeless people. They have to ring a free phone number. They'll be told to ring back at 10:30 at night. They'll be told at 10:30 at night whether there's a bed available. And as often as not, they'll be told, there's no bed available, we'll give you a sleeping bag. And some people are doing that for week after week, month after month. We should abolish one-night-only beds. And they're the ones, they're the hostels that I complain about, where the standards are sometimes abysmally low.
Peter, the amount of accommodation you provide, how much of the funding comes from the state? And the reason I ask that is because, is there a situation that rather than doing it themselves, Dublin City Council and other agencies of the state expect charities like yours and others to do the job for them?
Oh, they're quite explicit about that. They want the voluntary associations to take a big share of the provision of accommodation for homeless people. We get, last year we had a budget of about 17 million. We got 11 million from the government, and we fundraised a further 6 million. But there is no doubt the local authorities would like the voluntary associations to be heavily involved in providing social housing. Solution to homelessness is social housing. We have to keep saying it again and again and again. In 1975, this country built 8,500 social houses. In 1985, and we were in a recession, this country built 6,900 social houses. In 2015, this country built 75 social houses. This is the core of the problem. We stopped building social housing, and now we've got to get back to providing social housing. Government are talking about all the social houses they're going to provide. Last year, 450 social houses.
And it strikes me as well, Peter, that if you build those social housing, it also takes the pressure off the rented section.
Right.
It provides more spaces in the rented sector and keeps the prices with a lid on them.
The three sectors within the housing market, the private sector, Timber, where you get a mortgage, the social housing and the private rented, they're all interconnected. If we could build more private housing and get people out of the private rented sector into housing, get a mortgage, that would free up places in the private rented sector, and it would mean rents would drop and it would be more accessible to low income people. The three sectors in the housing market are all interconnected. You make a difference in one and it will permeate down through the other sectors.
Peter McFerrin, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.